Take your Bibles this morning and please turn with me to the book of John, the 13th chapter. John chapter 13 this morning. I want us to look at the thought this morning of true spiritual joy. True spiritual joy. If I asked you a question this morning, how would you answer that question? What is the key to joy? What equals joy in your life? As we'll see from this portion of Scripture, we see some keys to have a truly joyful life. And these keys that we see in the Scripture is not found in our world today in the way that many try to find joy. I looked up this week how people try to find joy or fulfillment in their lives. And here's the top 10 ways that people try to find joy. They find joy with the next purchase that they buy. So they always have to find something, buy something. They find the enjoyment of going and spending money usually they do not have, or money they should not be spending. And they find that joy. They think that's going to bring them satisfaction. They're going to bring them completeness in their lives. And they look for that in the next purchase. The next one was their next paycheck. Some find joy in the next paycheck. We live in a day and age where people live paycheck to paycheck. And they were waiting for that next paycheck. And that's going to bring them joy to be able to have that money, to be able to have that. Some say they find joy in their next relationship. We see that again in our world today, that people aren't seeking what God would have in a relationship. They're just seeking to try to fill a spot. And they think just because they're involved in some type of relationship, that relationship is going to bring them joy or happiness. We see that a lot in our young people, that they think as soon as they get out of the home, they need to go get married and they need to go have 20 kids and they need to have all this because that's what's going to bring them joy. And I don't want to be like the lady that's 40 years old and never married yet. I don't want to be like that because there's not joy. That's not where you find joy. Some think they find joy in physical improvements. They find that they have to do stuff to themselves and to their being, and that's going to bring them excitement. Now, I'm all for doing exercise, doing things to stay healthy, but that's not going to bring you true joy in your hearts and in your lives. It's okay. And some people say, well, as long as I could somehow grow hair on top of my head, that would bring me joy. Well, I tell you, this has been this way, and it keeps getting worse, and it's not getting better. Now, I have teased people before, and I said that someday I'm going to come in with a toupee on and see what you guys think. And I'm going to come in with big flowy hair like this high and walk in and see what anyone says on that. But that does not bring joy. Some say the way they find joy is in the next competition. The next competition that they do. They have to compete and they build this adrenaline and all this, and that's going to bring them joy in that competition. But that's not where true spiritual joy is found. Next is in a job and getting a better job. Going up the ladder, finding what they think is their dream job. Some say their next escape. They just want a vacation. They just want to get out of here. That's going to bring them joy. That's going to bring them true spiritual joy. That's not going to bring spiritual joy in your life. Then another one they said is the next person they can blame for their problems. This is out there. This is what they say. That's going to bring them great joy in their lives. As long as they have an escape goat, as long as they can blame Rich for all their problems, they're great and they're wonderful. I mean, or Rex, one of those. Is Rex over? As long as they can blame one of those for their problems, that's going to bring them joy. Some say trying to arrive is going to bring joy. That means just being successful. As long as they're successful, as long as they have the big houses and the fancy cars and the 20 dogs, I don't know if that brings joy or not. Some of you it would. Some of us, that brings headaches, not joy. and try to find joy in just achieving, arriving, coming to that standard. And the last one is trying to upgrade. Upgrade everything. Upgrade their life. It's kind of the McDonald's syndrome. You go in, you can't just handle the normal meal they give you. You have to upgrade to the larger, the extra larger, whatever they do. And you got to always have more. What you have is never enough. So you think as long as you can get more somehow in your life, that's going to bring you joy. But the Bible tells us contentment brings joy, not always wanting more. So how do we find true spiritual joy? And for in John chapter 13, we are going to look at a familiar event in verses 1 through verse 17. In this event, we're going to see three main keys to have spiritual joy in our lives. Now, this is an event that you could imagine. This is an event that we've talked about. You've had Sunday school lessons about. You've had the story told to you. But I believe in this event, there are some crucial thoughts that we need to get and take hold to our lives. So through our lives, we can have the joy that God wants us to have in our lives. If you're able to, please stand with me and read from John chapter 13, starting in verse number 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And the supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he rises from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poureth water into a basin and he began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Heavenly Father, we love you. And we thank you for this time that you've given us, that we can look at this portion of Scripture. We ask that you just get rid of any distractions from our hearts and from our minds, that we can heed and hear what you have us to glean this morning. We pray in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. You may be seated. Look again with me, verse 3 to verse 5, and then we're going to drop down to verse 12 to verse 16. And we'll see the first area that we can have true joy. Verse 3, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things unto his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he rises from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith to him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Drop down to verse 12, verse 16. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord. And he say, Well, for so I am. If then your Lord and Master have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither is he that is sent greater than he that sent him. The first area I want us to look at this morning of having joy is living a servant's life. Living a servant's life. If we want true joy in our lives, it is putting others before ourselves. It is learning to become a servant. Now, we understand this was the lowest task for slaves, But do you know that the Jewish slave was never washed anybody's feet? It was the Gentile slave. It was one, the Gentile slave, who was considered to be a dog, if you will, considered to be at the lowest place of anybody's life, was given this task of washing someone's feet. Now, could you imagine for a moment? Most people in that day did not wear nice shoes like you and I have today. All right? Get the thought there. They usually would travel distance. Now, some of you, you walk from your car to Walmart, that's enough for you. That's enough exercise. And some walk a little more and do a little more, but we're in a clean, pretty clean area. Now, could you imagine having your sandals on, if you were so lucky to even have those, and you would walk around all day and your feet would get nasty? How many of you ever been to an ocean, to a beach before? And you got your feet wet because it felt good, and then you decided to walk on the sand. How many have done that? How good does that feel? Now, it feels good for a minute because the sand's so hot, it burns your feet. But after a while, what happens? Your feet get caked on with everything. A couple years ago, or I think it was last year, when we took the teens to camp, we stopped at a beach for a while, at the pier in different areas, and their feet all got nasty. And then there was one little spot where you could wash your feet off. And some did a good job at washing their feet off, some did not. And after they were walking around at the shops and stuff, some of them, their feet started to hurt a little bit. Why? Because that little sand, that little stuff started to get in your feet and your toes. And then if you don't clean those, you don't wash those, what happens? Now, I'm not trying to be disgusting this morning. I'm just painting a picture. They start to get in and it gets a little nasty. How many ever had toe jam before, all right? You start to get that in your and it's disgusting. How many like to touch someone else's feet? Anyone like to massage or wash someone's feet in your family? Anyone? No one likes to do that. What's that? No? You don't get set up things for your wife and take care of her and do her nails and take care of, we got to talk to you, brother. You need marriage counseling. And so, just kidding. And so, this is not an area. Most people, how many, you don't have to admit it, but how many people don't like their feet touched either? They don't like someone to touch their feet. And they get that rude feeling in their thing. And the whole idea is here, what is taking place and what is happening is this person, and it's Jesus Christ in this picture here, is going to humble himself. So living a servant's life, the master becomes the servant. The master becomes a servant. If you and I are going to have true joy in our lives, as we go through this life, we have to become servants. The master became a servant. He even said later on in 12 through 16, he says, you follow my example. Follow what I have just done for you. Follow what I've done. I've humbled myself and I've taken on the form of a servant. You know, it's also interesting if you look at this. Whose feet did he wash? I believe he even washed Judas's feet. Judas is one of that betrayed him, you remember, for the pieces of silver. As you look at this, he humbled himself. He rebuked the selfishness of the disciples. He washed the disciples' feet. He became a servant. Now, how many of us are willing to serve? How many of us willing to lower ourselves down? How many times do we think we're pretty high and we're pretty special people? Have you ever been told to do a job or asked to do a job? Do you understand that's not in my job description? My job description says that I sit behind a computer all day and I work on this and I work on that. You want me to empty my trash in my cubicle? No, wait. That's why you hire a cleaning company to come in and empty the trash. Oh, you want me to do the dishes, sweetheart? I thought when we got married, we made a covenant that I did the outside, you did the inside. Don't ask me. That's beyond my job description. Steve, you're smiling there. Is that true or something? And I know it's not. I've seen Steve wash dishes. And we think we're higher than that. Oh, You want me to change that dirty, nasty diaper of our child? How could you think that I would ever lower myself to do that? Let me tell you, the people's feet were worse than that dirty diaper, all right? And Jesus humbled himself. Dirty diapers aren't that bad. It's how you look at it, all right? It's not that bad. But we have put ourselves so high. You want me to lower myself to something I'm not? Do you realize all my education, all my knowledge, all my understanding of deeper things? And you want me to teach little snotty-nosed kids a lesson? You want me to waste all my ability and all my knowledge and all my thing on these little kids? I would be better suited to be able to teach a great number of individuals all my intellect, all my understanding. What did Jesus do? The master became the servant. And as we look for the joy, the way we can have joy, spiritual joy in our lives, we have to become servants. Well, some ask, how do you become a servant? Jesus said in verse 14, if then your Lord and Master have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. So the question is this. Well, due to Jesus' example, I need to wash someone's feet. So I'm going to wash someone's feet. I need to be an example. Nathaniel, come up here, please. See, this is what it says to do, right? Sit down, please. Can you take those off, please?
Are you sure about that?
Oh, I don't care. All right. So, I have to follow the example. So, that means I need to wash his feet, right? And I clean. I don't think they've been washed for a year. And I got to clean his feet.
6 years.
6 years. Is that what it's saying? Is that what it's saying to do? So what is it saying? How do we follow Jesus' example in this sense? How do we do this? We humble ourselves, we become servants, and we come to find ways to help an individual. The whole teaching here was this idea. Now, we're going to get into what said in Peter and about the cleansing and all that there. But the whole idea is that we need to become servants. We need to look to ways to serve. It's not just washing the feet. Now, some of you, like Nathaniel, need your feet washed. I'll be glad to do that after church if you need that. I will teach you how, Nathaniel. And that's impossible. And we need to find ways to do it. We need to find ways to be servant. Galatians 2 tells us, by helping one another with their burdens. How do you become a servant? You don't care about yourself as much as you care about someone else. You're willing to take on the burdens, the heartaches of someone else. We, in our day and age, true joy is found when we can help somebody. We can take upon the burdens. There are many individuals in our world today, and even in this room and watching on live stream today, are struggling in their lives. They have burdens upon their hearts. And they need someone they can just share their burdens. And I understand sometimes we say, well, I have my burdens too. Well, I don't want someone to share their burdens with me. Because you want someone you can share your burdens with. Someone needs their burdens to share their burdens with. We need to be servants and say, I might have my own problems, we all do. I might have my own struggles. I might be going through some hard times in my life. But I want to be a blessing. I want to be a servant. I want to be a help. I'm going to humble myself and say, please, I want you to share with me. Now, you ever have sometimes that you felt like you're everyone's personal counselor? How many have ever felt that way before? And you start to get a little funny about it at times. But count it a blessing that God has saw fit that you can become a servant in this way to be a help. Now make sure what we're giving them is godly counsel. Make sure that we're pointing back to the Word of God. Make sure that we're sharing those things. But helping with one another's burdens. How do we become a servant? By forgiving one another. Ephesians 4 tells us this. We're to forgive one another, even for God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven us. We're to be tenderhearted. We're not to have malice. We're not to have anger. We're not to have those things. You see, the way that we show and become a servant is we are forgiving one another. That's how we're going to have true joy. So many people hold on to issues in their lives. Hold on to struggles in their life, and they're not going to have joy. If we truly follow the examples of the Lord Jesus Christ, who humbled himself, who washed the disciples' feet, who even washed Judas's feet, who got himself to this place, and he already knew that Judas was going to betray him, by the way. He knew what was going to happen. He knew that was going to take place, but he still did it. We need to show forgiveness. We need to show forgiveness to one another too many times. Believers have gotten angry over the smallest things in their lives. And it's ripped relationships apart. It's ripped marriages, homes, children apart. It's ripped churches apart. Because they have not dealt with forgiveness. I tell you, I don't know, you don't have to admit this, but I believe everyone in this room has been hurt one time or another. I believe everyone in this room has had someone do something to them they wish never was done to them. I know everyone in this room has had someone turn their back on them, stab them in the back, whatever you want to call it. It's happened. It's happened with even other church members. It's happened with family members. It's happened with what was you considered at one time your closest friend. And it's happened. But we need to show forgiveness. We need to humble ourselves and come to a place of humility where we humble ourselves and say, Lord, I'm going to forgive one another because I'm going to follow your example. I'm going to be a servant and I'm going to do what you want me to do because it's not about me. It's about you. And that's where it took place. Jesus realized he needed to please his heavenly Father. Jesus realized what his purpose on life was, to go to that old cross. He realized as he was with them in the upper room, his hour's come. He knew what was going to take place. He knew all that was going to happen. And he still humbled himself because now he was having time with his disciples. And he wanted his disciples, before all this took place, to hear a little more, to get a little more of what they're supposed to be doing and how they're supposed to be living. And that's where they find joy. And that's where we find joy. By reaching out to someone outside the family of faith, that's where we find true spiritual joy. Is to realize there's other people that have needs. There's other people besides those within this church, within your own family, that have needs. To realize there's people that you're going to come across with out and about that have needs. I shared this a long time ago, and some of you were here, you might remember it or not. Back 20 years ago now, or about 18 years ago, somewhere around there, when we were back in Wisconsin, and I was assistant pastor, one of our deacons was driving by the church parking lot, saw a car in the parking lot with a man in there. And what took place is he drove by, then he decided to turn around. He came back into the parking lot. He knocked on this door, and here's this man who was ready in that parking lot of that church to take his own life. And what he did is he shared the gospel there, and that man received the Lord as a Savior. And there was a change in that man's life. Because he was on his way to go do something, but he realized others are more important. And he turned around and he went back. We need to come to a place where we humble ourselves and we get outside of our circle and realize others need help. Matthew 5, 43 to 48 says, ye have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. How do we treat one another? Are we willing to humble ourselves no matter who the person is and serve? How many are willing to give your life or serve someone if that person's done good for you? See, some of the disciples, probably in our minds, would have been easy for Jesus to serve. You think about it. John would have been easy. Peter, I don't know. It depends on what day of the week. And you start looking at some of the disciples, and they would have been easy, but there's some that would have been a little harder. What about doubting Thomas? I mean, you know, we start, and this is how we do it. We'll serve, we'll give, we'll do, we'll humble if we think the person deserves it. But what's Jesus' example? It's not that. What did he do? He took the towel. And many of us need to take the towel, and we need to serve. In my room, I've shared this before, my office, going out my door is a little plaque. It was given to me by one of my professors in college, Dr. Price. Dr. Price went to be home with the Lord this last year. And every person that graduated that was part of his department, he gave this plaque, and John 13 is on there, and it says, take the towel and serve. And Dr. Price was a man that lived that in his own life and practiced it and showed it. And you and I need to take this portion of Scripture, and we need to learn to be servants and to serve. He rises from the supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. Look at that. He laid aside his garments. What do we need to lay aside to become servants for Christ? What's some things in your life, in my life, that we need to lay aside and say, it's not that important? That's really what I esteem to be importance is not really that important. That I have to come to a place that I say, you know what? Some of the things that I tried to make a mountain out of a molehill type of situation in my life isn't really that important. Some of the things that I put a lot of stock in, some of the things that I say are just crucial in my life, I need to lay aside. Jesus took his garments and laid his garments aside. You and I need to take our personal preferences, our emotions, our thoughts, and say, God, you have to come first, and because I'm going to follow your example and you're going to come first, I'm going to follow your example of being a servant, and I'm going to lay aside these garments. I'm going to lay aside these things that would hinder me to serve. We have become, and I say we, myself included, we have become very selfish individuals where we care mostly about what or who? Ourselves. We want things the way we want it, when we want it. We don't want to wait. We don't want anyone to mess up. We don't want things that way. We care more about ourselves than anything else. That's just how this generation, this world is. Some of you are older, you remember a different generation. Even in Idaho is still a little better than most places. But you remember a generation where men still held doors open for ladies. You remember a generation where when you were on your first date with your Prince Charming and there was a puddle, they took off their coat and laid on the puddle. You know that was not just in movies, kids. That actually took place. That's how people acted. What took place is people put others before themselves. They weren't so concerned about themselves. If they saw someone in need, even if they were going to go without, they gave to that person in need to help that person, even if they had to sacrifice and give up something on themselves and in their own lives. They realized that what was important wasn't all what they thought was important. But we become so selfish. We are so concerned about ourselves. Let me give an illustration. When you talk to someone, do you just share all your issues and problems? Or do you allow that person to share back? See, a lot of us, and pointing fingers back here, because your guys are all perfect. I'm just pointing to myself. A lot of us, many times, we are so concerned about what we got going on in that day and what our problems are with what we're facing, how busy we are, what our struggles are, what everything is, and we focus on ourselves and saying, how can I be a servant? How can we be a blessing? We talk about listening to the burdens of one another. How can I do that? Instead of doing that, we look at ourselves. We're not willing to lay aside our problems and say, I want to be a help. I want to be a blessing. Do you know there's individuals in this room watching on live stream that have some major issues? Don't take that the wrong way, but they do. They have some major burdens upon their hearts. They have some major struggles upon their heart. You say, well, they don't have as bad as I have it. I mean, look at me. I'm married to Rex. I mean, how worse can it get? I mean, how bad can that be? See, Rich, Rex is here, so you're not as picked on as much. And, I mean, how could that compare to that? But we look at our problems, and we think we have it the worst. You know what we need to do? We need to humble ourselves to a place where we open our eyes, and we start to see the needs that are out there. We start to see individuals that are hurting. And we start to say, okay, what do they need and how can it be a help? What do they need? They need to hear the gospel first and foremost. There's family members, there's coworkers, there's people that you come in contact with, there's church members, there's individuals that are hurting and they need help. And the first need that they need help is they need to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They need to hear how Jesus loved them and died for them and rose again the third day to offer their own way of salvation. Believers need to hear that you're there for them, that you're praying for them, that you want to help them, that you want to encourage them, that you're willing to help them and take care of needs and take care of things. Sometimes, I tell you, you hear about in the older days, and I hate to keep bringing back the older days, but you hear about how when individuals had needs at their homes and things that broke down, what happened in the old days? Rick, you were there. That was a long time ago when you guys all lived on the farms, right? And neighbors, cows got out. What did all the neighbors do? They got together and they helped to go get the cows, right, Rich? Am I right? And they went and took care. We need to get back to that place in our churches and among our families and among our homes where we're willing to put ourselves aside and willing to see the need and realize that people have needs and be a help and a blessing to them and realize we need to take the towel and we need to serve. We need to serve our Lord, our God, with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our might. We need to take ourselves and put ourselves out of the equation and say, God, how do you want me to be a blessing to someone today? And we need to look at ways of being a blessing to one another. And that's by being a servant leader. Some people think, well, to be a leader, I have to be a dictator. To be a leader, I have to just bark the orders. No, a true leader is a servant. What did Jesus do? He took the towel, he humbled himself, and he washed the disciples' feet. Let me ask you this morning, this is only the first point. We will look at the next 2 points this afternoon service. I was planning to preach all 3 points this morning, but let me ask you, are you, am I, willing to humble ourselves down to a place to start being servants? Not wanting to be served, but willing to serve someone. Some are so wanting someone else to serve them. We've heard this before. Now this is, it's a little different illustration, but so-and-so didn't shake my hand. Now no one's shaking hands, but I understand that. When's the last time you shook someone's hand? When's the last time, oh, so-and-so had these people over our house for dinner, their house for dinner, but they've never had me over for dinner. When's the last time you called and asked them to be come to your house for dinner? Oh, so-and-so does this with this person, and so-and-so does that with this person. When's the last time you invited that person? When's the last time you looked to be a servant, not to be served? When's the last time you pitched in the church setting and said, how can I serve? Pastor, how can I be a blessing? I don't want to just keep coming and taking and soaking up. I want to be a servant. I want to humble myself and serve and be a help. When's the last time we've had some type of dinner here at the church? We had some type of thing that you decided to whoever was washing the dishes to push them aside, say, I'll wash the dishes. I'll vacuum the floor. I'll do this. We need to get to a place that we once again truly become servants. And when you become a servant, that is when we'll find joy. Because it's no longer about ourselves. It's about Him and others in our lives. And you can testify just as well as I can. When we care more about others and stop focusing on all our problems, all our worries, all our concerns, that is when we find joy in our lives. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for your precious word. Lord, we thank you for this illustration, this event that's given here of you humbling yourself and coming to that place where you wash the disciples' feet. And Lord, we look forward to the rest of this event, this afternoon service, and all that's taught even more in this portion of Scripture. But Lord, help us to take the truths that we heard thus far and help us to be servants. And Lord, we do pray if there's one in this room that does not know you as our personal Lord and Savior, that even today you would pierce their heart, draw them unto yourself, and they would see their need of salvation. We pray this in Jesus' most precious and holy name. Amen. Heads bowed, eyes closed as you stand with me.